high for Nesbitt. One touch pass down low for Lane. Back up front for Nesbitt. He shoots and scores! Nesbitt shoots it in front. Danford deflects it. Rebound. Lane shoots and scores!
Fun, affordable family entertainment, exciting hockey, and much more. You don't want to miss a second of Atlanta Gladiators professional hockey at the Infinite Energy Arena. For tickets and more info, visit AtlantaGladiators.com. Gladiator! Welcome to the Power Play on Business Radio X.
Welcome to Power Play, the monthly radio show and podcast of the Atlanta Gladiators here on Business Radio X, broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio inside Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm President Scott Henrichson. The Gladiators are Atlanta's ECHL professional hockey franchise. We play our home games at the 10,000-plus seat Infinite Energy Arena, with a season that spans from October through April. Each month on this show, we're going to take you behind the scenes of the Gladiators, introduce you to many of our business partners and sponsors, and talk a lot about the exciting promotions that we'll be offering this season. You know, one thing before we get into talking to some of our partners today, I'd like to just mention is our opening weekend is coming up. It's October 19th and 20th. Got some exciting things planned, lots of new things happening for the Gladiators this year. So come out, support us. You can always get tickets at the arena or by visiting AtlantaGladiators.com. So today with us in our very first show, I've got some great guests. I've got John Reynolds and Marty Mazzawi from the Slow Pour Brewing Company. And I've also got Matt Verotis from the Sweet Acre Farms Winery. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
I guess we'll get started just by talking a little bit about what your business is. John and Marty are with the Slow Pour Brewing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your business, how you got started, where you're at, and you just give a little background on your business.
Sure. So we are Gwinnett County's first craft brewery. So we opened our doors officially last year, September 15th. So we just celebrated our one-year anniversary.
Cool.
We kind of got started by brewing in our front yard, basically. It came as a Christmas gift from Marty, and I was home brewing for about 5 or 6 years and kind of turned it into what Slow Pour is now.
Cool. And what is Slow Pour now?
Gwinnett's first craft brewery.
Okay, there you go.
Servicing Gwinnett County, and we're growing our footprint and our distribution as well. So we're looking at opening up the Atlanta beverage market area here next month. Middle of the month or so is when we're looking to launch there. But so far, we've just been servicing Gwinnett County, a little bit in Decatur, and some of the northern counties as well.
Okay.
To this point.
Marty, what made you buy him that first kit?
Oh, well, actually, it was a return gift. I was returning the favor because he got me something that I'd always wanted, which was an old Coke machine. So I always wanted an old Coke machine because where I used to get my hair cut when I had hair, there was an old Coke machine with a swinging door kind of thing. And so he found one for me 1 year, and I was blown away because I always wanted it, and he got it for me. So I was trying to pay him back for that.
Cool.
So,
well, that's fun.
Yeah,
you guys
it
been
was.
Friends for a long time?
Yeah, our wives are sisters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
well, there you go.
Yeah.
We're brother-in-laws.
There
yes.
you go.
So
cool.
Yeah. All these things happened around our in-laws' Christmas tree. So
nice.
He gave me the Coke machine. I gave him the starter kind of three-tier, which is a better, more advanced homebrew kit.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll come back to you again in just a minute. Let me, Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business, what you're doing?
Well, I'm Sweet Acre Farms Winery. We're located in Alto, Georgia, just north of Gainesville, which is funny. We are Hall County's first winery.
Nice.
And currently, my wife and I are the youngest winery owners in the state of Georgia. We specialize in fruit wine. I know grapes are fruit, but in the world of wine, there's grape wines and there's everything else. We are the everything else. We make wine from blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, peaches, apples. I'm also self-taught. I have a degree in communications, and so I have no chemistry or entomology background. Mm-hmm. Viticulture. My wife and I, we were doing farmers markets around Lawrenceville and around all of Atlanta. As a matter of fact, we were working full-time jobs and we were doing 7 farmers markets a week, just mm-hmm. trying to keep a little extra cash money in our pockets. And 1 year we had way too many blackberries. And my wife said, I can't make any more jelly. You got to do something with it. So I was like, hey, I want to go to the local brew place and go get some carboys and learn how to make wine. And my very first batch was a blackberry apple wine. It was 80% blackberry, 20% apple. And it turned out to be really good. Mm-hmm. And it was the wine that fooled me into getting into the wine business. I was just like, oh, that's pretty good. I know what I'm doing. I should open up a winery.
It's easy. After the first one, it's easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Very simple.
Which is funny because the same recipe that was my first batch of wine is now called Bramblin' Sam, which is my best-selling wine at the winery. So it's pretty neat that how everything kind of worked out. Mm-hmm. We're working on our third year now. We opened up unofficially April 22nd of 2016. So we're having a lot of fun. We got a lot of local people who are coming out and supporting us. We do service, obviously, our local community, Hall County, the Lula Alto area. Mm-hmm. But we're in over 30 locations that spreads all the way from the inside of the perimeter all the way to Blue Ridge. And so
that's cool.
Yeah, we're in Clipper gas stations. They approached us and like, hey, you ever thought you were a gas station wine? I said, yeah, I can be a gas station wine.
Whatever you need me to be.
Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, as long as I can sell a bottle of wine, I was doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. So we're starting off slow. It's just my wife and I. We don't have any business partners or investors. It's just the two of us. We have one other employee. We just hired him earlier this year. It's Taylor. That's it. That's the team. We got a couple people who come and help us out every once in a while. But that's it. It's been a lot of fun. It's been hard, a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And I learned a lot in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet you have. So what are some of the things you guys are doing in the community? Do you guys go to local events? What are you doing to promote your product, I guess?
Yeah, we'll hit all the kind of craft beer circuit. We did the Swanee Beer Fest this year.
Yeah.
And we took home first place.
Nice.
Which was good for Georgia Breweries, I think.
Yeah, Battle of the Brewers.
Yeah. We're doing the Grayson Blues and Brews this week. And
This week we're doing Duluth Beer Festival. We're doing this weekend we're having a big event on Oktoberfest down on the square in Lawrenceville. So we have a craft beer tent that is going to be exclusively pouring slow pour this weekend.
Nice.
Then we have Decatur Beer Fest coming up. We're right in the middle of all the beer festivals going on.
Cool. So. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, we're a lot the same. We've been going to the Swanee Wine Fest since the first inaugural business. Matter of fact, it was my dream. When the Beer Fest came around, I always wanted to go to it. I thought, one day I want to serve wine at the Beer Festival. And they let me in.
All right.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. A lot of North Georgia festivals. We go to the Chateau Alain Fest. We do a lot of festivals at our winery itself. You know, it's a 46-acre farm. Awesome. It's a 2,200-square-foot tasting room, so we're able to do other events. We got one event coming up. It's our Wine-a-ween, where we pair Halloween candies and wine. We all dress up. I dress up. My family comes out. We do costume contests and little, you know, carnival games and stuff like that. It's been a lot of fun. And we live music. We got I think it's barbecue coming out this year. So we do little things like that to keep involved. And then obviously anytime, any festival or any way I can get my toe in the door.
There you go.
Sell a bottle of wine. Mm-hmm.
Just get out there and be present is what it's all about.
Yeah.
So
one of the things I've noticed is that consumers really like it when they see the owners, you know, it's not just a salesman coming out and doing something. It's, you know, the owners are out there and it helps sell a lot of wine and it keeps people connected, makes them feel more connected to the product.
Mm-hmm. Great. So if somebody wanted to get some of your product, if somebody wanted to get some of the slow pour brewing, where do they go to get it? What do you want to tell them how to find your product? Where's it at?
Well, we're in a lot of package stores in all over Gwinnett, really, and a lot of pretty big restaurants like Bare Bones or Local Republic or McCrae's Tavern in Lawrenceville. But we're in about 86 places. We averaged out about 86 places a month or so.
Cool. Yep. And you guys did something with the Stripers over this last summer, didn't you?
We did, yeah. We co-branded a beer with them called Off Speed Pitch, which was our blonde ale.
Nice.
So this was our first season with them, and we're looking to maybe expand those offerings in the coming season with those guys. So
cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Matt? Where can I get your product at?
Well, we're in over 14 Clipper stores all over the place. Obviously at our winery, a lot of places in Gainesville and the surrounding area. The best way to know exactly where we're at is just go to our website, and there's a Find Us page, and then you can just click on to find addresses. We're, you know, in Athens or wherever. Mercy Orchards in Blue Ridge, Georgia was one of the first to carry our stuff. They carry a pretty full line. But yeah, the best way is just to go to our website. We're not in quite 80 locations, but we're working on it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got the help of our distributor, so that helps us a lot. Yeah. I mean,
being a self-distributor, there's pluses and minuses to it. The plus is that, you know, I control the product. Yeah. The minus is I don't have somebody else going out there huffing it for me.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So if somebody were to show up at your location, what are they going to find? What are they going to see?
First thing they're going to do is they're going to walk into our unassuming building. If you look at it from the outside, it's not the most spectacular building, but when you come in, it's I think we really designed a pretty neat place to kind of hang out. Lots of couches, lots of tables, lots of chairs, lots of games that we provide for people to play. We really pride ourselves on just providing a place where people can relax, hang out with friends and family, let their kids run around if they want. They don't want, they don't have to bring them. So it's just a really comfortable place to hang out.
And to what you're saying too, our tasting room, the original building was built in 1910 as a trouser factory. So Marty handled a lot of the design of that space. And so it's all of the original flooring from that building is still intact with a few patches here and there. And then all original brick, so you can really, you really feel the history. It's kind of cheesy to say, but you really do feel the history when you walk into that space. And we built that tasting room out with the knowledge of SB 85 coming and passing, so we were really able to focus a lot of attention on the customer experience when they're going to be walking into our space. Something that we just tacked on after the fact. It was all built on the front end, so you really get a great experience in our tasting room coming in.
Cool. And that's located where?
It's on North Clayton Street. So 407 North Clayton Street, Lawrenceville, yeah. Georgia.
Okay. And I, off the air, you guys were telling me a little bit about how you try to be family friendly. Why is that important to you?
Well, we do want to build a sense of community, and we think community is family oriented to start with. So we have no problems with families coming out. If you come out, like today, I had two of my kids there. But if you come out on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening-ish, or definitely a Saturday, you're gonna see kids running around. And we're looking to, we want people to be able to bring their families out there and just hang out and, you know, just relax and unwind a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely goes to that sense of community that Marty was talking about. We wanted our name to communicate something about who we are as a company. So that's why we chose Slow Pour, which I come from a technology background, and technology being as pervasive as it is in today's society, we wanted a place where people could come in and put that technology aside and kind of connect with community. And so one way for us to do that is to make it very family friendly, so people from all walks of life can come in and not have any restrictions on who could come in or who not. You don't have to go find a babysitter. Just come on in. You're welcome to come in. And we feel like beer is one of those things, and I'm sure wine too, where it can bring people in from all walks of life. You don't know this person when you walk in. You share a beer together. You find some commonality, and you walk out as friends.
Yeah.
And that's what we were really trying to build with Slow Pour.
We've never met before.
Mm-mm.
But It's very much the same for us. We're in a very rural community. North Hall County there's not a lot going on. So when we opened up, we found there was a lot of people who wanted to come out. We get phone calls all the time. Can we bring our kids? You know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so we're like I said, 2,200 square foot building, 16 foot bar. It's very rustic. Lots of tin, lots of wood on the walls. It's not a very pretentious area. We know what kind of wine we're making. We know we're country style, you know, kind of homemade wines. So we wanted to embrace that. So, you know, the wine that we make kind of really translates to not only the building, but the community that we're in. We're Southern, we're country. We make Southern country style wines. And we get a lot of the Southern country style kind of feel when they walked in into the winery. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of people come in who don't even know each other. And they sit there, and before they know it, they're drinking, they're having a good time. They exchange phone numbers. Before you know it, they're showing up together, and they're, you know, best friends. And a lot of our part-time and full-time employees are all very friendly, very outgoing. So you're right. It's a sense of community, a sense of just being in warmness. You go to a lot of wineries, and I've been to all the wineries here, almost all of them in North Georgia and across the state. Some of them can be very kind of sterile, or you feel like you walked in and you're overdressed or you're underdressed and you didn't show up in a nice enough car. And they make great wine, and there's a place for that, but we're just not that. Show up in your muddy 4x4 truck and shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops, because I guarantee that's what I'm going to be wearing, and my truck's not going to be clean. Mm-hmm. And just have a good time and just relax. What our mission when making wine was to elevate country style wines. When I was learning how to make wine, I was taking, we get old books, old recipe books from the 1800s, and we'd go online and we'd talk to people, the old timers, and we were finding old ways of making wine and implementing it into the way that we made our wine. And it was basically taking basement wine and bringing it out and upping it to a higher quality. We don't have concentrates, there's no artificial flavors, they're not grape or muscadine based. If it's strawberry, it's just strawberry. If it's lemon, and believe it or not, it's a naturally fermented lemon wine. And we wanted to keep it pure and simple. A lot of people don't know, but during Prohibition, people were allowed to make wine 200 gallons for their home consumption. They couldn't sell it, but they could make it themselves. So the tradition of making country style wines from before Prohibition through Prohibition until now is actually unbroken. You know, so there's been people who have been making these country style wines for forever. They couldn't afford ingredients because during Prohibition was the Great Depression. So they were making wine from blackberries and muscadines, tomato, dandelion, all that kind of stuff. So we found those recipes and we found those old timers and started talking to them. And that's what we started making it. That was our style of making wine. And we've having a lot of fun. You wouldn't believe the people who come in and they try our blackberry, or especially our muscadine wines. And before you know it, they're thrown back 30, 40, 50 years, and they're right in front of their aunt or their uncle who used to make that wine. We had one woman come up to us in a festival up in Hiawassee, and she tried the wine, and she just turned around, and she gave my wife just this huge hug. There's tears coming out of her eyes. And I'm looking at her like, what did you say to her, you know? And she said that she hadn't seen her mother in like 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden she was standing right there because of the flavor and the smell, especially that the muscadine provokes. It was a lot of fun, and when I get these people who come in, and all the stories that come out, and I mean, all of a sudden moonshine stories start coming in, because you know what we're famous for up in North Georgia. We don't make moonshine, by the way. But it's a lot of fun to have those experiences. And like, we're a fledgling business, so to have it and to have that intimacy with our community, with our customers, is a lot of fun. It definitely drives me to want to continue to make good wine and experiment with new stuff. I made a tomato wine once. Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
I made a fig wine. You know what fig wine tastes like?
Mm-mm.
Tastes like figs.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. So some of them are duds, some of them are great, but it's a lot of fun, and it's great.
What's your best-selling wine, Matt?
Well, our Bramblin' Sam is our best-selling wine. I'd say our second best-selling would be our Nectarine. It's made of 100% Nectarine. The Nectarines and our peaches come from Jaymore Farms, which is located right across the highway from us. Drew Eccles at Jaymore Farms gave me a call and says, hey, man, you want to do Nectarine wine? I said, no. I said, I'm too busy to try some random weird fruit. And he goes, I tell you what, why don't you come out here and let me show you what we got going on. Because I also said that I didn't even know what Nectarine was. I thought it was some sort of orange or citrus fruit. Turns out it's a fuzzless peach.
Yeah.
So I go out there, and there's this beautiful, big, full tree, and there's these huge Nectarines just draping off of it. And I go up and I grab it. It's like 102 degrees out, and I bite into this warm, sweet peach or Nectarine, and all the juices coming down my face. I got a beard, too, so I can say something for later. And he says, all right, so how many pounds of nectarines do you want? I said, I don't want any. I said, I've got too much to do to start experimenting. He said, I tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll give them to you for free. I said, done. So all of a sudden, I'm in the nectarine wine business. Make the nectarine. I put it aside. I just forgot about it. Eventually got around to bottling it. Debuted it out just, randomly, and it just took off. Next year, I went up to Drew, and I said, hey, man, I need some nectarines. He said, I bet you do. He got me hooked. So that one, our sangria wine that we just came out with is pretty new. It's a semi-sweet sangria. So if you like dry wines or sweet wines, it's pretty good. If you want it sweeter, you can add some juices or some fruits to it. Rum, I actually like it a lot with rum wine. And my lemon wines, I just sell the crap out of them there. They're really good, and they're really different. You're not going to find, I dare say, the state of Georgia, maybe even the United States, a naturally fermented lemon wine where we start with lemon water, sugar, and we add a secondary fruit to it, and it really just makes this really neat wine. I drink it over ice with a slice of lemon. Mm-hmm. The lemon's actually sweeter than the wine, so you can actually eat the lemon like it's a, like a piece of candy. Mm-hmm. I call it the baby maker, too, because before you know it, you're feeling pretty good. And yeah, and I've got a two-year-old and a one-month-old, and I've been open for 2 years. If that tells you anything, this stuff works. Maybe I should try something else, drink some water or something.
Well, guys, what was the biggest hurdle in getting your business up and running?
I don't know. What do you think, Marty?
Just trying to figure it out because we weren't in the beer industry at all. John's IT. I work on teeth for a living. So we like
Matt.
Sorry, like Matt was saying, just trying to figure it out and learn what we needed to do. It was just a new process for us. So I would say navigating the government side of it, mm-hmm. you know, getting a brewer's permit, getting a license, getting a license with the city, making sure the city was on board, which they've been awesome about. They've totally been, you know, for us the whole time. So just coordinating all that stuff. So it was just something we had never done, and it was a boatload of fun trying to figure it out, but it was pretty tough.
Yeah.
I think, too, part of that process was being the first brewery in Gwinnett County, there was a lot more hurdles that we had to jump through for that.
Sure.
Just navigating unknown territory for everybody, you know. So Marty handled a lot of that stuff. That's why I kind of threw it to him first because, you know, no one really knew what this road was going to look like
right.
for us.
Paving the way is tough.
Yeah. And then
it's good for the next guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, from my perspective, you know, going from the front yard to professional brewing, we had to bring in somebody who could help us with that transition. How do you work with equipment that is, you know, not a turkey fryer,
right.
you know,
right.
how do you learn those skills and bring that in? So we brought in, Chase Medlin, who is a, brewmaster at Twain's in Decatur. He was at the and left there and came and consulted for us for about a year's time, and now he's moved on to start his own brewery now as well. So, you know, that training that we needed so that we came to market with our best foot forward,
right?
Rather than, oh, these guys are still trying to figure it out, we'll give them a shot in 6 months or in a year. We really want to put our best foot forward day one. So,
you guys having fun doing it?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of worse things I could be doing with my life than making beer, that's for sure.
Yeah, we were a lot the same way. We are praised for paving the way for everybody, but being the first was not easy. And Hall County was a little tougher. They didn't embrace this right away like, well, we wanted. It took us 3 years just to get the paperwork down.
Wow.
And you know, being a military brat, I didn't have any sense of community or knowing what even a government ladder structure was going to take. It was really, really hard for us. And then on top of that, when I started, I was like 27, 28 years old. And when you show up in t-shirts, flip flops and a pair of shorts in a government, they're like, who the heck is this kid? So that was, it was pretty hard. And then we didn't have any consultants. We decided we thought about it, but wine is so traditional and there's such a way of doing things. We knew that we wanted to make fruit wine. We wanted to do it a certain way. And when we did talk to somebody who could consult for us, they were really discouraging us for doing what we wanted to do. They wanted to go grape. They wanted to go grape and fruit blends, or they wanted to do concentrates and stuff like that. So we decided instead of going through a consultant, we would just tough it out ourselves. Sometimes I really, really wish we wouldn't have, because there would have been that learning curve that would have been a lot easier. I'll honestly say that our wine has gotten better every single year because that learning curve is starting to be a little not as steep as it was before.
But you got a lot of pride in that now because it's all yours. So.
Yeah, it's been a lot of pride into my wife and I, original recipes, original ways of thinking about doing it.
I sense a collaboration.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Yeah, well, I'm sure we can figure something out.
I was going to ask you guys, how do you feel now as you've gone through this whole process and here you are, you're seeing product in the stores. When you walk through a store and you see it, how does that make you feel?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
No. Well, I was going to say the highlight of my life. There's been two highlights. One is when I saw.
You better say when you got married or had a kid.
Well, right. I'm talking professionally with my wife.
Okay.
And, children, of course, number one. Was when I went to the local dumpster and I looked inside of it and there was one of my bottles of wine in it. Mm-hmm. I was like, sweet, someone drank my bottle, threw it away. And the other thing is I got this text message. One of my glasses, because you get a souvenir glass with the tastings, was at the Goodwill. I'm like, hey, look, a good, you know, when you're glad, and he goes like, oh man, I'm sorry, you want it back? You want me to buy it? I said, no, man, leave it there. Let somebody take it. It'd be great. So having that, you know, just seeing it on a product or having random people come up to you, oh, I know you, I've heard of you, I've had your wine at, you know, wherever they've had it at, and it's like, oh, sweet, you know, we're actually getting out there. I was at Chick-fil-A one time. And Stockton, where the window and the girl was just, you know, the order was taking a minute. So she said, hey, you know, where do you work? And I said, oh, at the local winery. And she goes, oh, Sweetacre Farms? I was like, yeah, yeah. You work there? I said, yeah, I work there. I said, oh, yeah, I've heard that place. My parents have been out there. They love the place. You know, mm-hmm. little things like that for me have just been huge motivators. And you get that sense of satisfaction that your hard work is actually paying off.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Cool. Yeah. We went about 2 months, I guess, before we went into distribution. So we just had the tasting room open, and then we went into distribution, and we focused primarily on the square in Lawrenceville to start. And when we went into distribution in late November, and one of our local business accounts downtown brought us in and had like a dinner, Local Republic, they had a dinner down for us and everything for our official release party type of thing. It's a place I've been going for years with my wife on date nights and so on. And the first night being able to look up and look at the beer menu and to see four of our beers on tap there was really awesome. Yeah. And it never gets old. I mean, every place we go into and you see your stuff there, it's really awesome.
Yeah. And cool. You need the motivator sometimes.
I mean, yeah, I bet. I bet after a little while it drags you down a little bit, but yeah. You go see something like that, and it's like, okay, here we go. We're doing this. Let's do some more of this.
Yeah,
right.
I would say one of the times that felt pretty good more recently was when we went to the Duluth Fall Festival, and this guy from the Gladiators was like, hey, hey, man. Yeah.
That's a good connection.
I was like, oh, sweet. The Gladiators think I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's how I met him.
Yeah, he said he had been looking for one of those.
Slushy guy, yeah.
So. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on, especially our first show. Something that I've heard from all three of you is passion, right? And I'll tell you that if you come to a Gladiators game, you're going to see passion too, maybe in a different way. But the players that we have on our team and our coach and there's our staff, our front office staff, we all have passion for what we do, right? If we didn't, why are we doing it? So I'd encourage those listening, I'd encourage you guys to come out and enjoy some games.
One thing I might have told you before is my wife and I have been going to Gladiators games for years. We are huge Glads fans. As a matter of fact, my wife hates sports, but she loves Glads hockey.
Well, good.
Yeah, so she won't go to a football game with me, but she'll go any day to a Glads game. We absolutely love it. And you're right, it's family-oriented. It's a lot of fun. It's not really expensive. You get what you pay for. We love going. As a matter of fact, we have our date night coming up on the 20th, and we've already got on the schedule to show up to a Glads game. So.
Cool. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah.
So, guys, thank you for joining us here on Power Play, the monthly radio show and podcast of the Atlanta Gladiators on Business Radio X. Be sure to join us the first Wednesday of each month at 1 o'clock Eastern Time for the live broadcast of Power Play, where you can listen to our show anytime you want, 24/7, by visiting businessradio.com. Search for the Atlanta Gladiators and all our Power Play shows will pop up. To see our schedule and join us for a game this season, visit AtlantaGladiators.com. Until next time, I'm Scott Henrichsen with the Atlanta Gladiators, and this has been Power Play on Business Radio X. Gladiator!
Thank you for listening to the Power Play here on Business Radio X. Now be sure to check out the Atlanta Gladiators schedule on AtlantaGladiators.com.